But we get so, I wanted to for so many years there, but then we went and started going to Temple, and then they just come up and drafted me and everything into the quartet and everything, and my wife ended up telling the choir director there was, says, y'all don't know what y'all got yourself into. Says, I'm gonna tell you something. Says, he ain't got no voice. I said, well, shoot, man, I know that. I said, I know that. I said, I can't sing. And I said, they said, well, can you carry a note? I said, yeah, I carry banknotes around all the time. Yeah, he is too. You come on up here, bro. If you sit down, I'll say, I'm going back up here. You're going to sing by yourself. Hey. All right. Y'all have a good week this week.
Amen.
I tell you what, I just want to thank the Lord for just being with me this past week. I got up this morning and I felt good this morning, and I, in my study, I got up about 25 after 5 this morning, got in my study and everything, and I told the devil, I said, devil, I said, you might well go and quit right now, because you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time, because I'm going to be there. Now, if you don't like anything about the blood devil, you just come on in. And you can get saved too. But we know that.
I have a blessed assurance.
Be right. Okay. All right. Blessed assurance. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it looks like it might be kind of down on numbers this morning, but hey, that's all right.
Thanks.
or whatever you want to call it, but it says perfect submission. All is at rest. I, in my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking for Him above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I know that sometimes people get fretted with me because I say, well, you know, I'm looking, I'm expecting the return of the Lord. Come, Lord, quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. But it tells us in Scripture over in Titus, and I think it's chapter 2 there, it tells us that we need to look for that great appearing. And it is a great appearing. It really is. It's going to be one of the greatest appearings of all times. Because we have never seen Him face to face. But that's when I'm going to see Him. That's when I'm going to see Him. The ones that I've been to and I've talked to, like I got family members I've talked to, try to get them in church, try to get them saved and everything, they don't want to hear it. They say, I got all the time in the world. No, they don't. I believe it was Sister Nancy sung the song this morning, speaking about the last mile that we travel. I believe this, and I'm not predicting a time, a day, a date, or anything on the return of the Lord. But I believe in thinking about that mile, that each one of us on our automobiles, we have a thermometer on it. I mean a speedometer on it, and we have the one on the other side. We have the one that has the miles we put on it between fill-ups of gas, the tanks and everything. And we have the certain trip the miles on it. But you can go out there right now, and I believe this. That we can go out there today. When we get out in an automobile, we just take that trip finder there. And if we push it in, it'll go back to 0.0. And thinking about that, how far does it go up to? It'll go up as far as you're traveling. But I believe this within the mile in that song that we've traveled. We've traveled the miles. We've traveled so far. And I believe that we don't have much further to travel before we're going to step out. Before He's going to step out on that cloud. Which cloud is it going to be? I don't know. Am I going to be able to see Him from that from down here? I believe so. Because I'm going to hear the trump of God. And I believe this. If you're tuned in with God and you're saved, if you're tuned in with Him, And once you hear the trumpet sound, your eyes is going to be automatically fixed on Jesus Christ. And then we're going to be right there in His presence just like that. These jets, these airplanes, they ain't got nothing over what we're going to be going through. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't like to fly in an airplane. I never have. I flown one time, and that was with my cousin. He was practicing, and he was trying to get his pilot's license and everything. And after I flown with him and his instructor and everything, I told him, I said, y'all just get me back down on the ground, and you'll never get me back in air again. And I know what God was saying. It says, God, in God's word, it says, lo, I will be with you. Hey, I don't know if that pilot's saved or not. If he ain't saved, well, if we go down, what's going to happen? We're going on down just like, nah, we'll get off on that. I ain't going to get off on that. Let's get into the message all today. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 24. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 24. I want to thank each and every one of you for your presence. I know some of you may be tired, but I also believe that if you're in God's house and want to hear something from God, God will give it to you. He will take the message and He will rearrange it to where you can understand it, and where you'll get something from it, and it would ease up your tiredness and all the trouble that you may be going through. But we must lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we lean on Him, we're going to come victorious over the death, hell, and the grave. Why? Because Jesus Christ, He became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And guess what? I know I'm 65. I'll be 65. I don't know, 66. I don't know how old I'm going to be, but
65.
No, I don't. I really don't. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. But and I'm not kidding on that now. I'm a young lad, but really, I ain't kidding you. Sometimes I just wonder, who are you? And I'll be looking in the mirror in the bathroom. But we need to think about some things today. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. I'm back up to verse 12. As touching our brothers Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have come at a convenient time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Verse 13, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet, quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that behelpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunius and Achaeus, for that which was lacking, all your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you, Aquilus and Aphilus, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in thy house. All the brethren, greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salution of me, Paul, with mine own hands. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. May Rameth, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our Father, we want to thank you for this time that you've given us this morning, Father, to where we can be into thy presence and we can be into thy house. And Lord, we know, Father, that this is your house. It is the house of prayer. It's the house of understanding. And it's the house of knowledge. And Lord, we pray today, Father, that, Father, that you will give me something afresh and anew from heaven. Father, that these people that is here may be able to understand it. And Father, I know sometimes, Father, when I stand here and preach, Father, to me, it seems scattered. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you can take the words that have been scattered and unarranged, and Father, you can arrange them in the right perspective, Father, to each and every saint of God that is here this morning. And Father, we want to thank you, and we want to love you. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Back up in verse 15. And it says this, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I want to think on these words this morning. I know for a long time now, probably the last maybe 40 years or something like that, maybe longer than that, that we've heard the word addicted. The people today, that they've been addicted on this and that. But majority of any time that we heard anything at all about the addiction of individuals is where they're being addicted on the drugs. They've been addicted on pot, They've been addicted on heroin and all of that, cocaine and all of that, and the numerous drugs. And then they got this ice now that they call ice. And they said they're addicted to that too. Yes. But I want to take that one word, they're addicted. Yes, they're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to the way of their own life. But we must notice right here the words in the verse. This family had addicted themselves to the ministry. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. They have addicted themselves to the saints of God. They addicted themselves, why? Because of what Christ done on Calvary. The word addicted, a lot today, we hear of those being addicted to certain things and programs designed to help addicts deal with the problems. We have the Alcoholic Anonymous, the AAA, and all of that, to where that they can go to these Alcoholic Anonymous, and they can go there. They can sit in groups and they can discuss their addiction to the alcohol that they're drinking. But yet, how many of them comes back out of the program that particular day and will go and stop right by the liquor store and get them a filth of liquor or something like that, start back drinking? All of that is man-made. All of that is an excuse for them. But if they will go unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe this with all my heart, and I know some people are so addicted to it that they don't really even think about it. They don't really think about how God can help them. Well, first of all, they need to get saved. Thinking on that thought, I was talking to someone this past week. They're not in church, and I don't believe they're saved and everything. But that's between them and God. I do not know for sure. But they're not in church. And you can ask them, when was the last time they was in church? They say, oh, it's been 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I come to find out then, I didn't need church. I can stay at home and I can watch preaching on TV. Yeah, you can. But what are you getting? Nothing. You're not getting nothing that will end up touching your heart and touching your soul. And in talking to them, I heard that they have. I said, well, I'd love for you to come down to the church. Just visit us. Just give us. All I'm asking for is for 30 days. And that's not but just 4 weeks. 4 weeks. And if you're not working on Sunday, give it a chance. Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you're not working on Wednesday night and you come, give it 4 weeks. That's all I'm asking. That's not much. But see, I know that once you can get them in church, and if they'll make that commitment to you and to the people there, I'm going to give y'all four, I'm going to give y'all a month. The pastor said he's going to give me a month to try. And after a month, if I don't like it, I'll have to come back. And I said, no, you don't have to come back. You know what they said to me? They said, well, you just help me pray about it. I says, pray about it. I says, you said you're saved. You said that you used to be in church and you used to come to the point that it was just as many hypocrites in the church as it was out here in the world, but that may be true. One thing about it, but the hypocrites that's in church, at least they are closer to God than the hypocrites in the world. I said, but just you need to give it a chance. And I said, you said that you were saved. I said, if you say that you're saved, and you know that Jesus Christ lives within your heart and your soul, and you say that you're saved, and you know where exactly you got saved, you call on the Lord Jesus and ask him to come to your heart and save your soul. If you know that, then you don't have to pray about coming to church. You don't have to pray about these things, because this is a commanded in God's word that you obey God. It's in God's word that we must obey him and obey the truth. And he says in Hebrews 10:25, let not ourselves That's what you're saying. Let not ourselves enter into the house of God. That's what we're just saying. But no, it says in Hebrews 10:25, it says this, and I completely, Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another. And so much the day, and so much the more as the day, as you say, you see the day approaching, excuse me. We should be thrilled. We should be so excited right now in this time of our Christian life. And as far as my ministry, this should be the most exciting time in my ministry. Why? Because we are living in the very, very, very last day. I mean, we're living at the day. I'm not at the days. We're living at the very last day. And we ain't gonna have to travel that mile. We may have to travel another 2/10 of a mile. Maybe a half a mile. But the Lord Jesus Christ is right there on the throne of God, and God the Father saying, I believe God is saying to himself, he says, you know, it's about time I just go on and just let him go. It's about time I just go on and let the Lord step out on glory. It's about time I just let the Shekinah glory just to shine upon God's people. Hey, we need the Shekinah glory to shine upon us. And if it shines upon us, and then we can shine upon, allow our light to shine upon the people that we come in contact. That we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Never should we ever be ashamed. Right here says, according to Tauber Medical Dictionary, addiction means to have a physical dependence on a substance with use of increasing amount. Mosby Medical Dictionary defines it as compulsive, uncontrollable dependence on a substance or habit or practice to such a degree that to stop suddenly would cause severe emotion and mental reaction. Imagine for a moment if all who were in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church would be addicted on the Lord Jesus Christ and not be addicted to themselves. There's nothing else I can do about myself. It's all what Jesus can do through me. And it's all because of Calvary. The addiction. Whom are you addicted to? Are you addicted to the TV tube? Are you addicted to the soap operas that's going around? Are you addicted to the fun that you can have on a Sunday instead of coming to church? I've had more fun in my lifetime in the last 35 This August will be 36 years. I've had more fun. Why? Because I know that tonight, even after I come to church, that I can go back home and I can get in there in my study, I can get there and I can start watching TV and I can say, hey, tell you what went on today. I may not can remember the message, because right at the moment, sometimes my mind don't even go that far no more. One time my mind did go up to about 10 or 12 stories, but I think it's on the basement floor now. It just won't get no higher. It won't go nowhere. But you know what? But I can still have fun in knowing that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He is one that has sealed me. He is the one that's going to open up the gates of heaven to where I can go through. And I don't know if it's going to be by the grave or by the air. But to me, it doesn't make no difference. Because in a Christian's life, there's no death. Have you ever thought about that? In a Christian's life, there's no death. What does Paul say? Paul said what? Be ye absent from the body. To be present with the Lord. What I'm doing is I'm just taking this robe of flesh off. I'm just taking the robe of flesh off, hallelujah, like I do his sports coat right here. Praise God, it's gone. Hallelujah. I can get back in the glory. I can be there in a split second until a twinkle of an eye. How quick is that? It's mighty quick. Mighty quick. How does one become addicted? How do we become addicted unto the Lord? First of all, we must be patient. And I know what patience means. Patience worketh tribulations, and I know that. But the thing about it, as far as a Christian, we're going to go through some hard times. We're going to go through some tribulation. That's what I believe that Paul is saying right there. In Romans 5:4. And patience, experience, and experience hope. We need to be addicted. We need to be so addicted to the Lord Jesus Christ that once we leave here at 12 or 12:15 or whatever time we leave here and we get on our automobiles and start driving down the road, we should be so addicted on the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll come back tonight and want another booster shot. Amen. Just want another shot of the arm. Just want to snort one more time. Hallelujah. Hey, yeah, praise God, I can snort it. Praise God, I can inject them into my arm, inject them into my belly, I inject them in my leg. Why? Because I'm addicted to Him. Why am I addicted to Him? Because of what He's done for me. He went to Calvary for my soul. He pardoned me. He gave His life for me. And I've never understood that. Which I don't reckon I'm supposed to. But I know He did. I know He did. I just don't know what I would do today if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for my daughter. I really do. Both of them love me to death. Both of them love the Lord. And I don't know what I'd do without either of them. But most of all, what would I do if I did not have the Lord to turn to? So many people today think, well, all I have to do is call on the Lord. If they've never been saved, they can't even do that. Because they got one prayer. That's the sinner's prayer. And after they go to the Lord with a sinner prayer, and ask God to save the soul, to cleanse them, then from that point on, then they can go to the Lord anytime, any day, any night, and they can pray. But the Lord just don't hear their prayers if he just pray and if they're not saved. It was a sinner's prayer. First of all, he has to hear the sinner's prayer. And as he hears the sinner's prayer, which is my prayer, then I can be addicted to him. To become addicted to the ministry, one must have the experience. Must have the experience and the hope that we look to. The way of salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's another name. There's not another name. I can't go to Muhammad and get saved. I can't go to Fuchsia and get saved. Only one I can go to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. I can go to Muhammad's grave. I can go to Fuchsia's grave. I can go all of these other graves I hear, and I can see a sign. I can see a presence where somebody was there. But I can go to the tomb where Jesus was at. He's not there. The only thing that you will see in there, in that tomb there, is the unwrapping of the garment. That linen that wrapped his body from the head to the bottom of his feet. And then on top of that, I got to thinking about this one day. I got to thinking about it. Why did he have a napkin? Why did they put a napkin upon his face? See, I believe some of the individuals there knew what Jesus had taught them, that he was not going to be there for just a few days. And he was going to come forth. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was breathing the whole time that he was in that grave. You go in that tomb and you can see his linen clothes lying right here by itself. Then a right across from it that could have the napkin that was about his face. He didn't have to strain himself. He didn't have to do any of that to come forth out of that grave. He probably just thought it. And that old stone just rolled away. But then he come, what did he do? They come by and they says, somebody done stole the Lord. Somebody done stole the body of Jesus. No, they ain't stole him. They didn't put him to death. Nobody did. We are responsible for what he went through. We are responsible for what he went through. I'm so thankful that not only I'm responsible in what he went through, but when I asked him to save my soul and to cleanse me, that was meant to him in just thanking him and what he done for me. We need to thank the Lord every day. We need to thank him more than once a morning, more than any afternoon. We need to thank him. Every time a moment comes by, we need to thank him for what he's done for us.
We need you to admit. That we are addicted. Who we are addicted to? That's the question now. Who are we addicted to? I know that we're all here this morning, and I know that we can come back this evening, and you'll be here, and some others may come in. You are the faithful ones. You're the one that keeps the doors open. You're the one that keeps the church going. But do you do more than that? Are you addicted? Are you more on a high with Him than you used to be? We have no idea who we can reach. We have no idea when that last sinner is going to be brought in to his family, to the kingdom of God. Have no idea. But we can say this. But we have a job to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's made it so convenient for the Christian today to get His word out. You got the radio, you can get His word out through the radio. You can get His word out by prayer. You can get His word out by just speaking to someone. Now, I don't know about it. I mean, if you're here, I'm going to ask you a question now that you, each and every one of you can participate in, even myself. Not just keeping our hands down, but if we can do it, we need to raise our hands. How many of you here today, this morning, can speak? How many of you can speak? I mean, really, how many of you can speak? Can you speak good? Can you speak to people? Hey, we've got convenience. We've got a telephone. All we have to do is pick up and dial it. We even got a phone book. Now, well, it's got people's phone numbers in it. I've known people in times past, they will just get in the phone book and they just start down the line and they just start calling the numbers off. We had the convenience of getting His word out. But sometimes with the convenience in getting His word out, we let it slip by us. And when we let that slip by us, we are also letting the blessings of the Lord Jesus slip by also. Because see, I can take a dollar bill and I can take it and I can go down the highway and if I'm just thinking about, well, have I got any money, stop ahead and give me a drink or something. And I've been got my billfold out and got my dollar bill out
and everything. And then the next thing you know, I'd just be holding and everything. Here I am driving and everything. Then I'd have my window down. Then here'd come a gush of wind. Gush of wind would come by as I was driving. Then it would blow out of my hand. It would just blow out of my hand onto the highway. Then I'd go back and I'd turn around and I'd go back and see if I could find the dollar bill that I just really gave up to the wind. I'd go back and I'd look for a half hour, 45 minutes to an hour. And after that time, I said, well, it's just a dollar. Then I turn around, and as I drive on, I'll stop down here at Pilot down here and get some gasoline for my car and fill it up and everything. And I'd be outside the car and be filling it up and everything. And then I'll look down. I said, well, bless Pat. I said, hey, that dollar bill get all the way up here. And here's a dollar bill right there, just as crisp, laying right there on the concrete. Did I gain anything? Mm-mm. Have I still lost anything? Yes. I lost the first dollar bill that I had. See, if I hadn't have been playing with it, I wouldn't have lost it. But then, come to find out, I'm right back to what I had before. Had not increased $1. Had not increased 50 cents. The same amount. And saying all of that, in coming to God's house. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But in coming to God's house, people that come on Sunday morning, God blesses. As people come back on Sunday night, God blesses. As they come back on Wednesday night, God blesses them that come out. Says, not forsaking our assembling together as the manner of some is, but exalting one another as you see the day approaching. May not be the right word, the way it should go, but just think about it. I won't hear this morning. Well, I just didn't feeling too good this morning. So, Lord, just help me. I'll be at church tonight. Oh, yeah. They come back and I'll come back at night. No doubt the Lord's going to be here. And yes, we'll have some singers get up and start their sing specials and everything, and this and that. And we'll have some other people to come in that hadn't been visiting for a while or something like that. But then we can look around And we just thank, says, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. But see, the blessing that we lost for the service before, that where we was not in and a part of, that blessing is gone. That blessing is gone. It'll never come back to us. So we must always remember, anytime that we are around other Christians of like faith, and I'm talking about of like faith, the like that in what we believe in, and we believe in the truth, we believe in God's word, we believe in the old fashioned King James Bible. That's what I preach by. That's what I read. And yes, and I got two or three others at the house. I got some others. But I don't read them. I just rather stick to this. Brother Bill comes this morning. We're going to all stand. As we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. Father, for just being in this service today. And Father, we pray, Lord, that what was said and what you laid on my heart, Father, Father, will be directed unto each and every one that's here this morning. Father, we want to ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch the hearts. Touch our families, we ask, Lord Jesus. Father God, that our families may want to have a desire, Father, to get in church and, Father, serve you, Lord Jesus. And I know sometimes the family may be serving. They may be in the house of God. I don't know. But Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you just help us. Here at Faith Baptist Church, Father. Father, it seems like that we're not doing nothing. It seems like that, Father, that you have forgot about us, Lord. But I know you haven't. I know, Lord Jesus, that you will just manifest yourself upon thy people this evening. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for each one that made their way out today. And Father, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today has anything upon their heart, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that they will come to an old-fashioned altar and ask Jesus Christ to help them with it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.